the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe.
All right, joy to the world. Glad you're here this morning. Thank you for being here. So we're going to complete the Christmas card this morning after we pray. If you brought a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 2 is where we will be. And then we'll pray and complete a Christmas card. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is that we can celebrate and set aside a time of year to celebrate the incarnation when you chose to put on humanity and you lived as a man and that you lived a sinless life so you could represent us before your Father. And we thank you for that. We don't understand the depth of that and never will until we see you face to face. But because you did that and are the representative man, when you gave your life and shed your blood, it made me have a life and let my sins be covered. How wonderful that was. Forgiven because of your love and your kindness and your mercy. Certainly we should celebrate the time you chose to come and to put that action in movement. Thank you for all those who have come out this morning, those who are listening by a webcam, and we thank you for the privilege of being able to preach the gospel and that somebody somewhere, either here or through the medium of the webcam, will hear you this morning and will receive you as Lord and Savior, have their sins washed away, and receive the greatest gift ever given, and that was you. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. So we find we've been talking about the Christmas card. If you haven't been here for a week or two, Dwight didn't come. I mean, he had a heart attack, keep him from church. You know what I'm saying? And but we have been talking about the Christmas card. You got one, and thank you for all the cards you sent to us. They're so beautiful. And I've received thousands of cards through the years from different people, and they're all beautiful, but I received the best one that I've ever gotten this year. And it showed somebody thinks like I do. It showed the baby cradle, and it showed the three little wise men and Joseph and Mary. And the drummer boy over here with the big drums and the little ones, you know. And he's wailing on the drums and it says, bomb, 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 bomb. You know how the song goes. And the baby's saying, wah, just crying. Woke baby up. Naturally it would. And and at the bottom of it the card, it says, shortly after this, the drummer boy was forcibly removed from the manger. And I've said that for years, saying, you know, the little Jewish girl just rode many miles on the back of a donkey, had a baby, and here comes the idiot with a drum. And she's saying, come in a minute. Come in a minute. She's a little Jewish girl, right? Said, I just rode 20 miles on the back of a donkey and gave birth to this baby. We finally got him to sleep, and you waking him up. Enough with the drums already, okay? I can see her saying that. And I was the only one that said that for years that I knew of. Then I got that card from the Trexlers, of course, and I don't know where they found it, but I'm sure glad they did. So we are glad to finish the Christmas card. And chapter 2, we've talked about, you remember, we talked about the prediction in Isaiah about the baby would be born, and in Micah that this wasn't the baby's birth. We have folks who think they can gain godhood through being good, acting right, becoming a Mormon. You can advance until you become a god. Of course, that is completely upside down. God became man. Man didn't become God. And millions of people, I'm surprised at the lack of study and the lack of understanding of plain scripture. I don't know how you can get some things so messed up unless you have a 3 or 4 year old boy at Christmas time. Now, he'll mess anything up. He can break anything, tear anything up, turn anything over, and you don't know how they do it, but they can do it. But adults who can read and find out what happened at the manger, what happened at the birth of Christ, and why it was God coming to man, not man trying to achieve godhood. I mean, after all, I have a bunch of Mormons live down the street from us, and the apartment, a couple apartments down. I don't see them. They don't come by our place anymore. And nice people, educated, very clean cut, gentlemanly, always, you know, kind of help you carry that up the stairs. I said, no, I'll get it. It'll be all right. Just wonderful young men out on their bicycles telling a lie. How sad. And they have tens of thousands of these people around the world going around telling that story and teaching people they can become God. And I try to be nice. I'm not, you know, like you know me all the time. And I'm trying to be nice. And I'm just, there's a little lake across from where we live. I call it Lake Ann. And we got swans and ducks and geese that get out there and swim. It's beautiful. And I'm so tempted when I talk to one, say, how you coming on your godhood thing? Can you walk on the water yet? Let's go over and give it a try at Lake Ann. Well, no, I haven't advanced that far. So you ain't advanced at all, son. You're going backwards 90 miles an hour. And it'll drive you insane thinking you can be better every day than you were the day before. And that's their goal, to be better as a human being. You can't do that. That will drive you completely nuts because nobody knows you like you. And at night in the corner, in the back, in the dark, and it's just you and the real you, you know who you are. And you know you're not becoming God. And you know it's only because of God you can become in His presence, let alone become Him. I can't imagine the foolishness of it all. We talked about Elizabeth. We talked about Elizabeth pregnant with John and Mary visiting them. And we talked about some of the miracles. That was one, the impregnation of Mary by the Holy Spirit of God. And that was a miracle. I have a sermon on these verses, and I think there's about 30 miracles occur. And we have these things that appear that people don't believe in anymore. People, average man on the street, doesn't believe in an angel anymore. They think that's foolishness. They think we're crazy. But an angel appeared to Mary and told her what was going to happen. And he woke Joseph up, young teenage fella, and woke him up in the middle of the night. And it was an angel that told him. Matter of fact, the angel, as we probably read here in a minute, that he would be back to make sure that what he had told him had been fulfilled. And you gonna doubt that there's angels when the Bible says there are? It's an angel that keeps people in sin. So, oh no, oh yeah, his name's Lucifer. He was a head angel. And this guy is so smart and so cunning and can mess you up so bad that he got 1/3 of the angels of God to follow him instead of following God after they saw God on a daily basis and saw what he could do. Now, you better not mess with somebody like that thinking you're going to handle it. You're not going to handle it. The only way you can handle it is what we did a while ago, and that's through prayer. I don't know if you bothered by demons at night. Any of you ever bothered by demons at night about something in your life? Happens to me all the time. And I'll get to thinking the wrong thing or whatever. And I said, just a minute, I know how to handle this. I can't do it. Lord Jesus, is a demon bothering me or the devil himself? I don't know who it is, but I know he's here. And if you would, get him out of my presence. Send him back to hell where he belongs. I can't handle it. But if you would, please, get him out of my presence. He's bothering me. I've got to preach in the morning, and he wants to disturb that, and I can't keep him from it, but you can. So please, just get him out of my room, get him out of my presence, and let me get a good night's sleep, and don't let him bother me anymore. Thank you. And boop, he'll be gone. The Bible said they won't even flee, that the devil doesn't just run, that the devil will flee at the name of Jesus. And fleeing is faster than running, okay? Running is, honey, my husband's coming in the door. I got to run out the back door. That's one. Fleeing is my husband's coming in the front door, honey. I got to go out the window. Now you know the difference between running and fleeing. Okay. Y'all going to laugh, son, or I'm going home. Oh, me. See what the Word of God said. The wise men. And we talked about the shepherds, did we not? Now the baby's been born. The shepherds have been seen by the angels and told what was going on. And they said, well, let's go see this thing that's happening. Let's go to Bethlehem. Get on down there. They came. And they saw the baby, and they rejoiced. Then they went home. They not only got converted and understood that you believe an angel when they show up, especially the multitude that showed up at those few shepherds, and they said, let's run to Bethlehem and see this thing. And they did that, got converted, and came back and were the first evangelists. They were the first people to spread the gospel. Came back and told what they had seen. I was holding a homegoing, you call it a funeral probably, for Fred Collins. Fred was a friend of mine since high school. Fred used to sit right where you're sitting, Harold. Fred Collins was a multimillionaire and unseated a governor in South Carolina. He wasn't a politician. He just didn't want him in. So he had the power to unseat a governor. And Fred, I lost my train of thought, honey. What am I talking about? I'm going to tell you about Fred. It'll come to me. By the way, I forget things. I'm 79 come April, okay? And every now and then I'll forget things, and you'll just have to forgive me. I forgive you. You didn't know them in the first place. But when I forget them, just overlook that and stick with me, and it'll come back to me what I'm talking about, and it'll be the truth, okay? I don't worry about that. And you've learned by now that I don't get embarrassed. Everybody forgets things. My wife is having a birthday. When? Next week, honey? When is it?
I'm not going to tell you this year.
Well, I know when it is. It is New Year's. New Year's Eve. Well, that's it, you know. And if you'll notice, and why have your television on, the entire world celebrates Ann's birthday. There'll be fireworks in Hong Kong and England and everywhere else celebrating Ann's birthday. And this year she'll be 50. And we're glad of that. And you'll be what? Be a year older than you were last year, right? All right. We're still pretty, and we all still love you. And I'm telling you the truth. God will give you a good gift now and then. And he gave me one of these. And she had a little boy with her. He gave me two. My wife died of cancer, and I was sad and everything. And I said, well, when God takes somebody, that's his business, not mine. It's not mine to understand. It's not mine to worry about. She's saved. She with the Lord. But now what am I going to do? And the Lord said, shut up. I said, excuse me. He said, shut up. I'll take care of it. I needed one. I'm going to give you two. And gave me Ann and Scott, the two loves of my life. And we just had a a Christmas time you couldn't believe, all of us together and just being there. Ann thinks Scott's 11. How old is he? 40, 41? Well, I'm 10, but he, and we just rejoice in that fact. I laughed. I married Ann, and we didn't date long. I learned a long time ago I'm going to have to get done what I'm going to get done in a hurry, because you ain't going to spend a lot of time with me. And so I knew Ann and met her, and so we decided to get married. And I was so glad of that. And she said, we didn't know each other that well. But, I mean, after all, here's a beautiful woman. And she knew, was my wife's best friend. I'd met her a time or two, but, you know. And then we dated that time. We dated a long time. I think it's, what, 3 hours and a half? And so decided to get married. And got married, and she said, wait a minute, I got to stop by the house and get something. And I'm thinking it's a suitcase, you know, to go on the honeymoon. And she comes out with a four-year-old. And I thought it was a suitcase. I called Scott Samsonite for 4 years. And but, boy, what a gift from God. Wonderful Christian young man and a wonderful Christian mother. And they've supported me through the years and put up with me through the years. And I can't thank God enough for sending them in my life. If you just wait on him, he'll take care of you. Because he couldn't have taken any better care of me than Miss Ann. Sometimes she gets out of line and doesn't appreciate me like she should. But other than that, we're going to keep her. So we find out all these things that happened. And we find out that the wise men we didn't cover. We spoke a little bit about it last time, but we had to get that in at the end on our Christmas card, because you see, the wise men were like the drummer boy. They weren't at the manger. They didn't get in on that. Your Christmas card always shows them there, right? The wise men with their gifts. That didn't happen at the manger. That happened later. They had gotten over the manger. Tax time was over. By the way, we celebrate December 25th as the birth of Jesus. It wasn't. That's a pagan holiday that the early Christians just decided to use. Shepherds don't watch their sheep in the field in December. Okay? The sheep are in their fold in December because it's cold over there. But Jesus was probably born May, April. That doesn't matter. This is the fact that he was here is what matters. They've changed the calendars anyhow. There used to be 31 days in a month. Now the calendar's changed down to 30. And the names of our calendar, January, February, March, all those are pagan names, by the way. They came from, they didn't come from the Bible. And the Bible never indicates Jesus was born on December 25th. We don't want to ruin the time. But they just picked the time. And they got it from the pagans. But the matter of fact is they picked a day. That's the main thing. And we celebrate that. I celebrate the fact that Jesus came every day. And I hope you do. And Ann will say, you know, Christmas, every day's Christmas to me. I said, me too, honey. I'm just so thankful to be here for what God has done for us and all the nice people we've met and the things they've done for us. You just can't believe. Every day is Christmas Day. Every day's a holiday. I used to have a friend in Kentucky. He said, every day's a holiday, every meal's a banquet. And I said, amen, because I've been where there weren't any holidays and there wasn't any food. And I'm sure you have too. So here we're finding now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, the wise men were the Magi. The wise men came in a caravan. I know in your Christmas cards and in most of the stuff you see on television this time of year, they'll have the three wise men, they call them, and we sing the song. It's wrong. We three kings of Orient are. No such animal. They were wise men. They were astrologers. These people read the stars, and they got a lot out of that. And that's how they knew Jesus was there. They had found out that the king was born in Bethlehem. They didn't know Bethlehem. They just saw the star. And why were they looking for the star? I just told you they were astrologers. They looked for things like that. Well, when they saw it, how did they know it was a sign? Go on back about 1,000 years and you'll find a fellow named Daniel was captured and taken to Babylon, and he wouldn't go along with the program there and started a Bible school. And these people were people who had learned what Daniel had to say, and because of the prophet Daniel, they were looking for this miraculous birth to take place. You think God's not in charge? I mean, after all, think of what all had to combine and meld together for all this to happen at the same time. So these wise men formed a caravan. Well, how do you know they had a caravan? Because you don't travel in the desert with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which are expensive gifts. You don't do that with just three people. You get a caravan going for protection. So they had a caravan that showed up in Jerusalem saying, and they came to ask, they said, where is he that's born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and we've come to worship him. That's where the saying, say what, came into effect. Now they're at City Hall in Jerusalem. This is where the priests are hanging out. This is where the wise men of the Jews have their offices. This is where King Herod is. This is where everything, the center of activity. And these guys are riding into town saying, well, where's the new king? And the people who are supposed to know said, what? What king? Then these infidels had to tell them about their own king that was coming. And so Herod said, get our wise men together. Go and find out what's going on here. All I need is another king. We're not going to have two kings. And so they get together and they look in the books and they go back and look in the scroll of Daniel. And they find out that this baby is coming, that the Jewish Messiah is going to be born, and this star is going to do what they said it did. Now they know exactly what's happened. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. I mean, this caused a stir. It wasn't just one more caravan that caused a stir. A lot of caravans passed through town, spent the night there, and went on their way. But this one was special, and the word got out even without email and texting that somebody had come and heard about a newborn king, and now they've come to the king, and they're asking, where is he? And this is causing trouble. Herod is red hot. Because he's hot about it. What do you mean there's a new king? What do you mean this has been predicted for thousands of years? Where is he? Who is he? And they explain he's the King of Kings. We have come to what? We have come to worship him. You're going to do what? We're going to worship him. So Herod said, no, we're not having that. When he had gathered all the chief priests and his scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, after they had found out, looking at the scrolls, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Isaiah had told them, Micah had told them in the Old Testament, 1,000 years before, that this was going to happen. And now these people know where the baby's going to be born, and the king of the country had no idea. That's something. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, a ruler, that shall rule my people Israel. Did that happen? Absolutely not. When did Jesus rule Israel? Didn't happen, did it? Then this is a prophecy that one day he will come And one day he will be the ruler over Israel. The king is coming. We await him now. That's what this is all about. We'll know when the king comes because we're looking for him, aren't we? And we will know when he gets here. Then Herod, when he had privily, meaning privately, called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now you will see in your Christmas cards and Christmas television shows that a star comes and they follow the star from Babylon to Jerusalem. And I saw one, I didn't see it, but 30 seconds, I knew what it was. Our astronomers are still trying to figure out how a star did that. And they're giving all these prophecies and ungodly interpretations of prophecy of how a star could do this and the alignment of the stars during this period of earth and all of that. I said, no, you're looking at the wrong thing. This isn't a planetary star. This is a light of the glory of God. And he has given this light so they can follow it to Jerusalem and not get lost. God had a hand in it to make sure they came to the right place. Then in the morning, you remember as we'll read in a minute, they get up and the star took a left. It went to Bethlehem. Stars don't do that, do they? You can sit here and watch them all year and they're all going the same orbit or all stay in the same place as we turn around, but none of them take a left and get out of line and go somewhere else. That was the glory of God. That's the light of God. That's why you can't, the Bible said, no man has seen God at any time in his fullness, because the glory, the light of God would disintegrate you. If you got that close to him, it would just turn you to nothing. It's worse than a laser beam. And all the folks who get all excited on television preaching, I've seen some. Oh, yes, I was in heaven and I was talking to Jesus. Liar. Kenneth Copeland, bless his heart. Well, he said to me, you could have died for the sins of mankind. And I dropped my Bible. Well, it didn't reach earth. Where did it go? You were talking to God and he was explaining the scriptures to you and you were so amazed you dropped your Bible. Is that right? Yeah, liar. Never happened. And they're always, I know when to turn the button when I hear one of them saying, God spoke to me and said, and you hear 20 of them on TV today. God told me, spoke to me. No, he didn't. Everything God wanted you to know is between the covers of this book. And when you know all them and you have to know more, he'll be glad to talk to you. But until you know all this, don't be bothering him with a bunch of your foolishness. You don't understand this yet. Nobody does. It's so simple a child can understand it, as we talked about little Marie's grandson praying to the Lord and understand. Think about the theology of that little kid, 5 years old, understanding he can't do it, but God can. Do you know there are theological professors at Princeton and Harvard and Yale seminaries who don't have that much theological knowledge? Is that 5 year old? Because they don't believe God exists, really. How sad. And they're the ones sending preachers out. To do what? To continue in their foolishness? The world's in bad, bad trouble, folks. And so we find out that in Bethlehem, land of Judah, was a little old bitty place. And the Lord told us here, because there were a lot of places within just a few miles of Jerusalem called Bethlehem. So he just didn't say that the baby would be born in Bethlehem. It's Bethlehem of Judea. Told him exactly where that little crossroads would be. Isn't that something? Now where the baby was born is a parking lot. and it's owned by the Muslims. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Liar. Didn't want to worship him. He wanted to kill him. Isn't it interesting when you read the scriptures to find out ever since Jesus put on humanity and was born and laid in a manger, people have been trying to kill him. I mean, from day one, somebody wanted to kill him. And we find out in a minute that Herod died and his son took over the kingship. He wanted to kill him. Everybody wants to kill Jesus. Finally, they did. Only because he allowed it. Had he not wanted it to be done, he'd be 2,000 something years old still with us. You can't kill God. God can kill you. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, here it is, takes a left. The star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. So the star not only led them to Jerusalem, next day it led them to where the baby was. Young child there can be interpreted as baby. I've heard preachers say, well, they finally left the manger. They had to get out of there, the rented inn, the place at the inn. And they had to leave town, of course. And they probably stayed in Bethlehem a couple of years. And then they moved down. Now, that isn't what happened. When it says young child there, that means baby. Joseph and Mary took the baby after he was born. A couple of days later, they had paid their taxes and out of town they went. And they had to go. And when they saw the star, this is the Magi, they rejoiced with great exceeding joy. Isn't that something? That's the same thing the shepherds did, didn't it? When the shepherds and the angel came upon the shepherds and the lights came on, the football field lit up. And then there was a host of the heavenly host, millions of them, doing what? Praising God and saying, right? Angels praising God. The Bible teaches you as you go through your studies that there are a group of angels that do absolutely nothing for eternity except surround the throne of God and praise Him 24/7. That's their life, praising God. And we have gotten in America so materialistic and secular that they think we're crazy if we get excited about Jesus coming. I feel sorry for you if you can't. I preached at a church here in the county for several years. A man had been saved in one of my daddy's tent meetings years ago in Columbia. And as we were looking for a Christian school to put Scott in, a little boy, he was just one or first, second grade there. And I saw a church and said, church, Christian school. So I inquired, and then I told Ann we'd found one. Let's go to church there Sunday and find out more about it. And so we went, and the preacher came to me, and as you've noticed, I'm a little loud anyhow. And when I was greeting people, saying hello and good to see you and all, he heard me, somebody asked my name, and I said, Greenway. And he came up to me, and he said, did I hear you say your name was Greenway? And I said, yes, sir. They call me Beaver. I'm John Paul. He said, did you ever know Dr. W. Norman Greenway? And I had another Bible with me. I said, that one? Because I had a picture of my daddy in it. I said, that one? I said, yeah, I know him pretty good. That's my daddy. And he said, well, I was saved in one of your daddy's tent meetings in Columbia when I was 12 years old. And the school, I have to run it here, and I have to preach here, and it's driving me nuts so much to do. Do you preach? I said, a little. Mm-hmm. And he said, would you mind filling in for me for a few weeks and letting me get a little break? And I said, oh, I'd be more than glad to. So I preached there for how long was it, 7 years? It was a while, wasn't it? Yeah, several years there. And But what I was telling you is we had one fellow there. He was a test from God to see if I didn't slap him. And sometimes God will test your patience, you know. And boy, he did it with this one. And wasn't nothing going to make him smile. Jesus could have come one Sunday, he wouldn't have smiled. See? And I heard him telling somebody, don't be saying amen, and don't be, you know, too loud in church, and don't be, in other words, don't be happy about all this. Maybe, and I never will forget his term, maybe a holy grunt every now and then would do. And I've been years trying to figure out what a holy grunt was. And I said, you got to be out of your mind. You mean you are so thrilled that Jesus died for you, you're not going to hell. You get to go to heaven and live with him forever, and heaven comes here, and we're in the presence of the Lord God Almighty forever, and as happy as you get about it as a holy grunt. You didn't understand the program, son. You didn't understand what you got. It's like a little granddaughter last night came in for her presents. And I told you she made all mall buying presents for the little grandkid, and had bags and packages and all, and she's jumping like little ones do. She's five or six, and she's opening things and tearing and just having a big time, and teddy bears and dolls and Barbie dolls and, you know, all this, and just enjoying it, and I'm enjoying it watching her. But the thing she played the most with and got the most excited about was the big bag everything came in, because she could get in the big bag and pop out like a jack-in-the-box. And I said, well, there you go. There's the mind of a child. That's what makes her happy, all the colorful wrappings and all that. And it happens in church. We get Christians who, if somebody says amen, they'll look at him like, you know, what's the matter with you? Don't you know where you are? Don't you know where you are? When you're in church, you're in the presence of Almighty. He said, where two or three are gathered together, I'm there with you. You can't see him this morning, but I promise in the form of the Holy Spirit of God, he's here. And you can feel him. And some of you will come to church and I'll preach a sermon, and sometimes it's to myself. And you feel that he's here. And you leave here saying, well, who told the preacher about me? Nobody told the preacher about you. Well, he was preaching about me for an hour. And they didn't know your name. They didn't know you were there. That was your conscience. That was the Lord who is here talking to you. Sometimes he doesn't yell. Sometimes it's a still small voice within you that says, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't be part of that. Don't run with them. Get back with the people of God and stay there, and I'll take care of you. I used to live a sign up near Greenville. Somebody put up on the highway, said, angels who protect you when you drive, get out of the car at 65. I mean, you got to have a hand in some of that yourself, don't you? See? So we find out and that these people have now been found out by the king, and he wants to kill the baby, lies about it, said, I want to worship him. When they heard about it, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, here you go, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, saying, here he is. We've found him. The star is over that house. Go knock on the door. And they do. And they knock on the door and tell them who they are. And when they came into the house, they saw the baby. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Didn't mention Joseph. He was there. But they saw the baby, and what did they do as soon as they saw him? And they fell down and worshiped him. They did not worship her. We love Mary, the mother, the physical mother of the Lord Jesus. Of course, we have nothing to denigrate her about, of course. Chosen of God, blessed among women, but she is not co-redemptrix with Jesus Christ. There's one of the largest Christian denominations, some of them are Christians, some aren't, who say, oh yeah, Mary is the co-redemptrix of Christ. And what does that mean? They said, well, now she can forgive your sins too. Well, we pray to her. Why would you do that? Well, you see, we figure that if she's that close to Jesus, that we're more likely to get our prayers answered if she asks him to do something for us instead of us asking him. She didn't even hear you. That's not her job. She did her job when she had the baby and raised him and was good mother and kind to him and had other children and raised them in the statutes of the law and let them be understanding who God was. But they fell down and worshiped who? They worshiped him, a baby. You only give worship to God. Worship means worthy. We worship God because he is worthy of worship. If you are worshiping anybody else or any other God, you are a heretic. And you have committed blasphemy. You mean there are people who worship other gods? Oh yeah, there are religions on earth who don't have the same God we have. And the Muslims have placards now. You've seen them on TV, have you not? Read the Quran. We have Abraham. We have Moses. We have Jesus. You got the wrong Jesus. We have Allah. We have God. No, you don't. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is a Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The God of Muslims, Allah, is one God. In their mind, right? No Holy Spirit, no Jesus. See, they got the wrong God. See, yeah, we want to not offend them. I love it every time Obama says, well, we don't want to make the entire Muslim world mad at us. We don't want to offend the whole group. We don't want to make them mad. How mad can they get? They're cutting off babies' heads now. They're crucifying Christians now. They want to kill us, you, me, and everybody who doesn't believe like they believe now. Just exactly how you gonna offend them? How much madder can they get? I mean, they get so mad they blow themselves up. That's really getting mad, isn't it? I can't understand the stupidity of a bomber who will blow himself up. That the imam, that's their preacher, tells them, yes, for the sake of Allah and the sake of Islam, you need to blow yourself up, my brother, and you will go straight to paradise. I can't believe out of 1.5 billion people that one of them doesn't have enough sense to say, I will if you will. Show me how. Nobody's ever bothered to do that. They go blow their idiot self up and he goes home to dinner. How dumb can you get? Show me how. Why should I blow me up? You blow you up. Aren't you telling us to worship the same God? Aren't you telling us we'll both go to paradise? Don't you want to go? Get in the car. I'll blow us both up. Don't think so. Don't think so. Well, you're going to make the Muslims mad. Well, I'm very, very sorry, Muslim. I didn't make you mad. I'm sorry as I can be. Fell down and worshiped him, for he is worthy of our worship. And when they'd opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. This is where the gifts come in, that the Christmas card has them at the manger. didn't. They came at the house here. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Please understand, nothing is written in the Bible just to fill an empty space. Everything that's written here has meaning. Why gold? Several reasons. Gold represents deity. They were representing the king. They were honoring God with gold. Then too, God knew he was going to take this little family and they were going to have to leave Bethlehem and they were going to have to get on the road again because Herod was after them with his army and they were being sought to be killed. And he said, look, go to Egypt. By the way, 1,000 years before that, one of the prophets had said, and he will be called out of Egypt. See? Pretty good planning, huh? God knew they were going to have a place to stay in Egypt. That they were going to have to eat in Egypt. They were going to have to feed the animals they were riding on in Egypt. They were going to have money if they're going to travel in Egypt and finally get back to Jerusalem, settling in Nazareth. God knew they needed money to do that. Didn't need to. He could have provided that on the way. But he provided the money. Why? He gave the Magi gold to take to the baby. So, well, that's something, isn't it? Yes, not the first time it happened. What do you mean? Don't you remember Moses? Moses aggravated the king so bad. The king said, look, fine. And the plagues came. You remember the 10 plagues that came on Egypt? And the king still wouldn't accept the God of Moses. And he said, one more plague, one more plague, till finally the king said, we can't take any more, man. I try to go to bed tonight and throw back the covers and the bed's full of frogs. I try to eat dinner and nothing but flies on the table. I go out to feed my cattle and see how they're doing and they're all dead. I try to get a drink of water from the Nile and I send for a bucket and it's blood. I can't take it anymore. Just get out of here. Moses, get your people and go. And Moses, being Jewish, said, no. Not till you give us all your gold. And all the people gave their golden earrings, their jewelry. All the gold they had went to Moses and the group so they could go on their journey safely. Where did you think the golden calf came from? Do you think God doesn't have it all planned out? Including your life and mine, knows exactly what's going to come upon us and gives us opportunity on the way to be part of him. So that was the gold. And then one of them had frankincense. Well, what in the world is frankincense? Frankincense is a costly perfume. Very costly, if you remember, New Testament. One of the ladies came and they wanted to put frankincense on Jesus. And she poured a bottle on him and she washed his feet with her hair in this expensive perfume. As a matter of fact, somebody figured it up and that one bottle of frankincense was worth a year's wages. And Jesus received this as a baby, and it was to show the fragrance of his holy life. Because if you opened frankincense back there in the back, you'd smell it out here. Ann got tired of me stinking and gave me some wonderful cologne for Christmas. And if y'all would like to hug me, no men, okay? If you'd like to hug me this morning, you can smell it. And I'm up here smelling good. And it came in a set, and it has underarm deodorant, smells the same way, and it has hair stuff, smells the same way, and then you sprinkle it on you, and I'm there looking good this morning. I'm smelling good when I left the house. See? And Ann was glad of that. She's glad the way I've been smelling, I guess. She wasn't too happy with that. My former toiletries were called, it's a French name, Febreze. Right. I get it at the Bilo. And so I was proud to get that. And so he gave frankincense as a symbol of that life that baby would live. And the third one gave myrrh. Myrrh also was very, very expensive. It was like sap from a tree. And it was very sticky. It was kind of like shellac. And myrrh was used to wrap the dead in. They'd wrap the cloth and then they'd put myrrh. And then they'd wrap more cloth because the myrrh would cause it to stick. And when they had that and they had the body wrapped from neck to feet, after it hardened, you could have taken the body out and it would still look like somebody was in there. Still like the mold, like a mold of that, see? That's what they say. Well, when Jesus resurrected, I guess he just came through it all. He just came through it all. And so they had symbolized why that baby had come. Now, he hadn't been here but a couple of weeks at best. And here comes somebody from Babylon. And they are bringing a symbol of a baby's just born death. Isn't that unusual? They called that they wrapped and put the myrrh on swaddling clothes. The same cloths were used to wrap the baby when he was born. Don't you remember the story? That he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And those were just the rags that happened to be around. That wasn't the fine silk and all we would put our little babies in, you know. And so the whole story is told right there. And so they got on their knees and worshiped the baby and gave him these symbols. And that was the first worship service, I would imagine. Did you notice there was no Baptist church involved? Did you notice the Episcopalians weren't there? Did you know there wasn't even a pope yet? Maybe he'd have gone and waved. I don't get mad at the Catholic brethren. Some of them are saved and honestly good godly men. However, they get so much hoodoo in there with it, you miss the truth. They're telling me, don't you remember when the Pope came? Hadn't been, a couple of months ago? The Pope's coming to America. And I said, which one? They said, well, what do you mean? I said, you got two. One quit. He lives in an apartment at the Vatican now. And now the others, the real Pope. Do you mind telling me which one speaks in ex cathedra? That is, when he speaks from his throne, that's infallible truth according to them. Of course, it isn't. He can lie from the throne as easy as he can anywhere else. And they said, the Pope's coming. And I'm thinking, this is the head of the largest church. Millions of people. They call him the Vicar of Christ on earth. That is, he represents and he replaces Jesus on earth. Excuse me? I don't think so. We found out a while ago who replaces Jesus on earth, did we not? When he said, I will be with you when two or three are gathered together. The Holy Spirit of God replaces what Jesus did on earth. And here this man is, and I have quite a sense of humor, as you already know. If you don't, you will. And They kept, isn't that wonderful? Wasn't it? I said, yeah. I think he waved from that car as well as anybody I ever saw. I didn't see him do anything else. Well, what a wonderful message he gave. I listened to the message. I've yet to hear the name of Jesus. I've yet to hear him tell somebody, if you don't accept him as your Savior, you are dying and going to hell. Do you understand that? I have flown from Rome here to tell you it's not too late. Get saved and get saved today. Forget pulling on your beads, doing your genuflexes, and all that other stuff you do. It has nothing to do with salvation. You are saved by the grace through faith, is what the Bible said. How hard can it be? You can't add to that, and you can't take away from that. And that's why he came. God bless him. That's why he came. So we see now the wise men, and boy, weren't they wise to do that. Weren't they wise to seek him out? Weren't they wise to take the gifts and honor him? Weren't they wise to go back home another way where Herod wouldn't kill them? And they were told to do that too, all the miracles in there that happened. And we have trouble today in the so-called Christian churches of America and the seminaries of America. They don't believe this book anymore. And you say, well, why don't you believe it? This is God's word according to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the truth, not a truth. This is the truth according to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you believe what it says? Well, you see, we don't believe in miracles. Well, I feel sorry for you, you idiot. You're standing on one. Where do you think the earth came from? That was a miracle of God. Spoke it into existence. It and a billion times a billion stars that you see in the night sky. Each one averages 32 trillion miles apart. And you look at them, and then you see the photographs from the telescopes the scientists have, and you see just in our Milky Way alone, the billions of stars. Now they've found out there are billions of galaxies that he made by thought. And you don't believe in miracles? What's the matter with you? You don't believe Jesus was virgin born? Well, we just have a little problem with that. Jesus didn't. Mary didn't. Joseph didn't. The old time preachers who preached nothing but the Bible didn't. No true Christian has trouble with that. You think God can't make a baby? And I remember my dad on the radio in Greenville, South Carolina. He was on 6 o'clock in the morning for years. And sometimes I'd get up and go down to the radio station, WMRC. I can see it right now. And go up the steps there off Main Street and into the radio facilities. And he'd be sitting behind the microphone, and I'm sitting out here in the glass in between, and he's preaching. And the guy at the radio station one morning stopped him on the way down and said, Dr. Greenway, said, I got a question for you. And he said, fine, what is it? He said, well, I'm having an awful lot of trouble with the virgin birth. I just don't understand that. And my daddy said, do you believe God created the heavens and the earth? He said, oh, yeah, I believe that. He said, out of what? He said, well, the Bible says out of nothing. That's right. And these billions of stars you see, he created them out of what? He said, I guess out of nothing. He said, you really believe that? He said, yeah. He said, then why are you having trouble with God creating a baby when he's got half the material already there? You've got the mother there, half the job done. Right? And he said, I never thought of it that way. He said, well, think of it that way. See? The day you start limiting God, that's a nice word for questioning God. When you start questioning God, you don't know it, but you have put yourself above God. Lots of luck. We can't even approach Him decently. Somebody asked me, what do you think we'll do when we get to heaven? And I said, for the first 1,000 years, we'll probably be in Bible study because we are so terribly ignorant about what He told us. The nerve of somebody to question the Almighty. I don't fool with folks long. I said, well, I tell you what. Build a frog and we'll talk later, okay? But till you and your group can build a frog, you have nothing to say, let alone build a man or build a universe or build a heaven or build a billion times a billion stars. Just make a frog and let's talk further. You see how foolish we are? And that's what God calls us, fools. Well, I never read that in the Bible. Wait till Easter. I'll show you. He's on the road to Emmaus, walking along with two of his disciples. They don't know who he is. They've been blinded as to who he is. And he said, why you guys, what's up? Why y'all so sad? And they said, have you not heard? The prophet that we thought was the Lord, the great Messiah that had been sent to us, and we followed him and believed him, and this is the third day, and they crucified him. They took his life, and now we have no leader. We have nowhere to go. He said, wait a minute. Just a minute. Fools not to believe all the prophets have written. All the prophets have written. You can't believe part of the Bible. You can't trust halfway in God. You can't say, well, I'd like to be saved, at least get me in, I'll work on the other part. No. Full time, all the time, it's not an affirmation, it's a commitment to take your life and give it back to the one who gave it to you, the Lord God Almighty, and be as wise as the wise men and worship Him, for He is our only hope. He is our Lord God Almighty. He's the Messiah that was looked for thousands of years. He's the Savior. He's my Lord and my God. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him today as that, as we pray and sing, you just pray where you are. It's necessary for you to come up here. I can't help you. I've done all I can do. Watching by webcam, listening here. If you've never been saved, never accepted Christ, never repented of your sins, you do that today. You say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know it. No use to get out the list. This building wouldn't hold the list anyway. Just forgive me. I'm sorry. I want to repent. That means metanoia. Metanoia means to turn and walk in a new direction. I want to be changed. I want to give my life to you. I want to be sure that I live in your presence forever. Save me. I don't understand it all. I don't have to. All I have to do is put my faith in you. And today I want to do that. And if you've never done that, you do that. And this will be the happiest year you ever had, because you have gone from darkness to light. You have gone from death to life. You have passed from earth to heaven. There's a place at the table waiting for you for supper. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is to know as Christians we have the privilege of talking to you. And as foolish as some of our talking is, we know that your wisdom understands that we're simply trying to say we love you. And we thank you for coming to this planet, for living a sinless life, for laying down your life that I could have one, for shedding your blood so it would cover my sins. And had I been the only one who had ever been lost, you still would have come. You still would have died. You still would have resurrected. And you still would have come back just for me. What a God. What a Savior. Be with us this year, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name I pray. And for His sake, amen.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace.
I'm just a sinner.